It appeared that Rue was just returning home as Anya pulled up the circular drive before his mansion. He paused on the stairs and turned to wave at her.
Find your treasure?
Anya brushed past Rue and towards the open door, where Henshaw stood propping it open.
Why the hurry, Anya?
I'm racing against BHDC to find this treasure, Rue. And I just figured out the key piece in the puzzle. Where's D'Artagnan's rapier?
Still in my study on the desk where you left it.
You didn't lock it away? This house is not burglar-proof. I remember well the time it was broken into by crazed monks.
I've enhanced my security since the Brotherhood of the Silent Rain. But you're right, I've been busy. Come. See, Anya? There it is, safe and sound.
Anya lifted the rapier by the hilt and tilted the blade downward. If Lambert still wanted the sword, even though he had a copy of the map, then something about it must be valuable. The worth of it as an artifact would never bring more than a few thousand euros. Maybe tens of thousands. Chump change to an organization like BHDC. She tilted the hilt to inspect the pommel.
I'm sure the musketeer never wielded that blade in a duel. It was a prize he valued, to be sure.
Why wouldn't a musketeer, who was constantly in debt, not seek to claim the riches he held in his very hands? Have I been foolish to believe very few are even aware of the treasure when perhaps it has been pursued through the centuries by curious treasure hunters?
Would there not have been mention of it in a historical text or included with the treasure hunting sites online if that was the case?
Perhaps.
She glided her fingers in admiration over one flat side of the blade. It was much thinner and more flexible than her own sword. Not a weapon designed for battle. This was a gentleman's sword, designed more for show than duel, though certainly the tip was sharp and would go nicely through a man's torso if needed.
Why would the queen give the man a map without a key? It doesn't make sense.
Unless the key was to hand.
Yes, to hand. Take a look, Rue.
What am I looking at?
Anya took a look down at the pommel herself and saw the crest was still crusted with dirt. Tracing her fingernail along the crest, she cleaned out some of the dirt still embedded within the heavy gold disc. What she needed was a small brush archaeologists used to clean away fine particles. But the appearance of a small N along the outer rim gave her a thrill.
I don't understand why a corporation focused on genetic cloning would have an interest in an ancient sword.
They finance their endeavors with the treasure. Lambert staffs biopirates as a means to finance his twisted studies.
Twisted?
I uncovered horrible evidence that they are attempting to clone humans.
Babies in jars?
Not quite, but close.
Human cloning is impossible.
Trust me, I'm a major skeptic. But I have a feeling the attempt to create human clones occurs more frequently than we'd like to believe. In the meantime, humans are suffering for the research.
But I thought the cloning process merely involved extracting the DNA from embryos. Less than a week old?
2 weeks, actually. And that is only for therapeutic cloning. The embryo never grows to be born. I found evidence that BHDC has actually been seeing their experiments to the birth stage. I saw one file that put the survival to 68 minutes before the infant stopped breathing from complications.
What sort of complications?
I don't know. Complications from the cloning process, I assume. It's not perfected, which is why it's illegal, and beyond the legalities of it, it's morally wrong.
It is. Why don't you sit down, Anya?
No time. I'm to meet Asher in the city. I think I was followed as it is. See here?
Anya drew her fingertip around the pommel, tracing the worn impression of the directions of the map. Rue nodded.
A compass.
And all it took was a cup of coffee and an old tourist flyer.
Anya screwed off the pommel from the hilt and set down the rapier on the desk behind her.
Lock that up. I'm taking this with me.
Anya turned and rushed toward the exit of the study. Rue followed her back to the foyer.
Anya?
Yes, Rue?
Will I require reinforcements to stand in your wake?
You may.
Anya had barely turned to face the open front door when her senses shot into overdrive. She dodged an arrow as it skimmed past her head.
Increased security, eh, Rue?
Anya kicked the door closed, pressed her shoulders to it, then decided that wasn't a good idea. The force of an explosion hitting the door sent wood splinters as big as her arm flying in all directions. Flames ignited the remnants of the wood door. Embers sifted into the foyer in a rain of orange bits. Anya landed on the marble floor in a face-forward sprawl.
Henshaw, break out the automatic weapons! Are you all right, Anya?
Peachy!
What was that? A grenade?
That or an RPG?
Rolling to her back, Anya decided whoever had shot the grenade would come next. Springing up, she took a crouching, ready position aside the flaming doorway. She tore Joan's sword from the other wear. Rue moved around the opposite side of the door. He brandished a machine gun and had found himself a Kevlar flak jacket. The room was still fuzzy with the dust of the shattered door.
I've got the front, guys. You go around back and check the perimeter.
Will do.
The barrel of a sniper rifle appeared in the doorway. Anya held back until she saw the elbow of the gun wielder. He turned toward her, startled eyes showing through the slit in his black face mask. Anya drew the sword in a sweep across his gut. Blood pooled quickly beneath his clutching fingers. The man dropped to his knees, then sprawled to his side. Anya slid up against the opposite wall and swung a look outside. All clear. Only her rental parked in the driveway. She returned to position, shoulders and hips against the wall. Focusing, she concentrated on the sounds outside. The hazy darkness would not reveal snipers hidden in the shrubs that lined the drive. A glance to the now unconscious man lying to her right showed he wore a headset. A minuscule red light flashed near his temple. There were others. Moving her elbow up to bring the sword horizontal, blade tip tilted down, Anya prepared for the next gunman. The auto fire from overhead did not break her concentration. Rue must be up on the roof. The man could take care of himself. So could Henshaw. The toe of a combat boot crossed the threshold. Anya swung around. A red laser beam bobbled across her chest. She slashed the gunman across the clavicle while twisting her body out of the line of fire. Grasping the hilt, Anya used the pommel of her sword to knock the man's rifle from his hand. Anya turned back towards the front door. No other gunmen in sight. That didn't mean they weren't there. Had they taken out the guard at the gate? There was no other way in, unless they'd scaled the iron gates. A man landed sprawled across the manicured lawn. 1 point for Rue, or maybe Henshaw. Anya left Rue to handle the three thugs who had invaded his home. One was dead. A fall from a four-story rooftop generally did result in death. One other was badly injured, and Rue intended to deliver him to an undisclosed aqueduct in the center of Paris, in the vicinity of a hospital, should he choose to seek medical attention. But the final man he kept for interrogation. Anya did not question his neglect to call the authorities. Report a break-in? That would prompt too many questions Rue and Anya would rather not consider. Any man who had walked this earth for 500 years must maintain a certain anonymity with local authorities. Anya had to explain to Rue that she suspected she'd been followed after her kidnapping.
They held you against your will? Just this afternoon?
They left me alone and I was able to escape.
Alone? Yes, I suppose. Well, good for you.
She had been careful driving to Rue's estate. She'd kept watch the entire trip. Yet there was no doubt she'd been followed from BHDC by Lambert's thugs. And further, there could be little doubt Lambert felt threatened by her now that she'd infiltrated his files and knew he was involved in human cloning.
Well, run along, Anya. I'll see what I can prod out of my guest.
The ride into Paris had been uneventful, and again Anya kept a keen eye for a tail. She'd parked again near Notre Dame, since the tight streets in the 5th arrondissement rarely offered parking spaces, and some were even marked only for pedestrians. Asher's hotel was tucked in a cozy little corner above a touristy restaurant that featured, as scrawled in chalk on a board sitting on the sidewalk, Les Cuisses de Grenouille. Smirking, Anya recalled her first adventure with frog legs. No, they did not taste like chicken. And even the French were averse to eating them. It was strictly a tourist spectacle.
Anya!
Asher greeted her at the door with a kiss to both cheeks.
You're late.
Had a matter to take care of at a friend's house.
You look a mess, Anya.
Your silver tongue must get you all kinds of dates.
Ah, disheveled woman is a gorgeous thing.
Did you get food? I'm starving.
The room was not much larger than the bed. A narrow aisle between the bed and the window led to an even narrower door, which he presumed was the bathroom. Probably no larger than a shower, toilet, and sink. Anya sat on the bed, then stretched out an arm and lay on her side. Asher set a bag on the bed. Grease stained the brown paper. It smelled wonderful.
It's an hour old, so probably not hot.
It doesn't matter, as long as it's not frog's legs.
Ugh, not those awful things. From the Greek restaurant down the alley. There are more Greek restaurants in the Fifth than French, you know that?
I don't care, so long as it's edible. You're not going to eat?
I did already. Thirsty?
Oui, monsieur.
Armagnac? D'Artagnan's favorite?
Armagnac was a single distilled malt brandy that, besides being the famous musketeer's drink of choice, had also been used by apothecaries as a disinfectant. Anya took a swig. She wasn't a big drinker and had nothing to compare this to. It burned the roof of her mouth, as any good disinfectant should, but not for long.
You like?
Sure.
If I had the proper goblets, then you could truly appreciate the fullness of this exquisite brandy. I smell the pepper and the apricots. But this is how D'Artagnan would have indulged, straight from the bottle.
Asher's enthusiasm warmed her. She could picture Asher Valois striding the cobbled roads of the 17th century, gentleman's rapier at his hip and a musketeer's tabard swinging, the silver lace catching the eyes of passing ladies. He would most definitely seduce them with his charm and impressive dueling skills, and once within the privacy of her boudoir, the man would have been a lady killer. Yeah, he offered a complete package, handsome, talented, and athletic. What woman wouldn't swoon under his spell? She noted he took her in from head to toe, and the smirk that curved his lips.
What's up, Valois?
You should eat more before you drink too much.
I can handle my drink.
Anna, you are exquisite this evening.
Thank you, but I know I look as though I've been through the ringer, because I have.
Tell me everything that happened after we parted on the Seine.
Are you here on official business for BHDC, or are you acting for yourself?
Anya, I work for no one but myself.
I don't believe it.
But you must. Why else would I have called you, Anya? I was worried about you, that you may not have fared well with those men chasing us.
I didn't do so well. In fact, as you were floating away down the Seine, I was being knocked out and carried to BHDC.
You were captured? How did you get away? Did they let you go?
Not exactly. I made a run for it, and they followed me to the home of a trusted ally. Much gunfire ensued. And a bit of stabbing.
Anya, I had no idea the style of chasing history's monsters lived such an adventurous life. Do you get paid for risking your life?
Asher, just... I'm not sure if I'm ready to tell you everything right now.
I understand. There is a loss of trust between us. I must earn it back. But you believe that I have been truthful with you now about the danger PHDC presents.
Yes, they are dangerous, but in a creepy, twisted, scientific way. This has become much more than a simple pleasure dig.
Oui. I'm so sorry, Anya. I did not mean for you to become involved in something so strange.
Asher lay on the bed and stretched his arms up and behind his head.
Ugh, I cannot, for the life of me, have imagined it would result in your being kidnapped. How can I make this up to you?
Hand over the map. No, actually, I'm sorry, too. This was your dig. You are as much a victim of BHDC, if not more so.
Asher's rucked-up sweater revealed the scar where his kidney had once been. It was small, about an inch. It must have been where the blade exited, because she'd seen the long scar on his back. Damn, that must have hurt.
I have no right to waltz in and walk off with something that means as much to you as it does to me. But can I trust that we both want to keep the map from Lambert's hands?
We are in accord.
Not that it matters anymore. I know what it is about the rapier that Lambert wants.
Of course, the map. Did you bring along the rapier?
Part of it. The map is not what Lambert wants, because he's got a copy.
He does?
Scanned and saved on his laptop. It's a match to the one we have. Seems Nicolas Fouquet made copies of all Queen Anne's correspondence. Lambert has been researching the same archives we have, only he discovered the original map, or an original copy.
Does that make sense? I read about Fouquet's fastidious records in my studies. So the copy, is it missing?
Yes. The same as ours. the lower left corner where a navigational key might normally be found. And after viewing the scan, which was much clearer than your copy, I began to wonder if it was designed that way, with the piece missing, which led me to the Bibliothèque Nationale, on François Mansart's trail.
Mansart? The 17th century architect?
Hand me my laptop for my backpack, will you?
There is no internet in here.
Damn. I need it to...
Do you ever take a moment, Anya? You are always on the go, focused on the adventure. You are welcome to shower here. Perhaps I could massage your shoulders for you.
Cher, let the dog loose, okay?
I do not understand.
The cad. He doesn't have a chance with me, so take off the leash and let him roam elsewhere.
My flirtations did not scare you off from meeting me, so you must have appreciated them.
Anya shrugged, not willing to agree, but knowing he was right. Their online conversations had served to fill a missing part of her that she didn't have the time to pursue in the real world, at least not in real time. The missing part? A relationship.
Anya, if I were trying to seduce you right now, I'd be over there whispering into your ear and touching your brandy-stained lips. Those plump, chewable lips. Would you like another drink?
Cher, I should be trying to get you drunk so I can steal the map from you.
You wouldn't steal a thing, Anya. I know you better than you do yourself. You can have it.
Do you know what BHDC is involved in?
Cloning human body parts. Did you see my kidney while you were there?
Wouldn't have been surprised if I had. Lambert heads a corporation dedicated to biohistorical research. They claim the DNA from famous figures and... I don't know. I can't imagine that you could clone a historical figure, but they collect the DNA anyway.
DNA pilots? Such exotic mischief.
Mischief? I thought it was the Brits who were masters of understatement. It is morally wrong. They've done experiments, Cher. They've attempted to clone humans.
You have proof?
Nothing tangible. I wish I had pocketed even one of the documents I'd gotten my hands on in the BHDC headquarters.
I will never stop trying to seduce you, Anya. But I respect you. Maybe it is I want you to seduce me, eh? We Frenchmen do have our own fantasies about the American woman.
I've never seduced a man in my life. I think I'll take you up on that offer of a shower now.
Asher's expression changed so quickly, Anya knew she had said something wrong. Jacques had put a tail on Anya Creed, though he wasn't sure he shouldn't do the field work himself after all the mishaps. He'd heard back from the crew who had followed Rue out of Paris to the old man's mansion. Three men went down, with one dead. Reports indicated that a woman had assisted Rue. So Rue and Anya Creed worked together? How and why? Had Rue arrived in his office to distract him with a decoy coat of chainmail while Creed sneaked around BHDC? It was possible, but that would mean the mail did not belong to Joan of Arc, which disturbed him more. If it was genuine, then he couldn't imagine why Rue would risk something so valuable without then expecting Anya to find something in return. And whom was the mysterious modern sample from? His men had allowed a woman, who had entered the facility without a weapon, to get away. Though how she'd gotten the sword she'd used to defeat Theo was another mystery, one he would solve. And then there was Cher Valois. He and Creed were working together, though why was another frustrating question. Anya Creed certainly had her allies in Paris.
Such an enigma, that woman.
Creed hosted a popular television show about monsters. Jacques had downloaded a few episodes to watch. She wasn't as voluptuous or vacuous as the blonde hostess, Christy something or other, but she was more credible. Jacques could not figure out her interest in D'Artagnan's sword, and ultimately the treasure. It didn't seem a feasible show topic. There were no monsters involved in the Musketeer's history. Was it merely her fascination for history?
Idiot. Of course, anyone would have an interest in the prospect of treasure.
BHDC thrived because of found treasure. It was their sole means of finance. And the best way to obtain it? Stalk the serious treasure hunters and swoop in when the booty was brought up. Mad Bloody Jack was still riding the seas, even without the trusty evil gentleman Tobias at his side. Jacques owed much to his brother's memory. From the moment Toby had breathed his last breath, Jack had begun to dream, imagine, and design his own future, a future without sickness. He took science courses and advanced biology classes offered in high school. Then he'd met Andrew Harrison, his head geneticist, in his second year of college. Andrew had turned him on to the possibility that DNA manipulation could serve the human race. Therapeutic cloning became his passion, to create life for those in need. Genetic cloning had been a natural progression, a sideline to his goal, and it paid the bills, most of them. But until BHDC could show proof they'd actually successfully cloned a human, their clients would remain the few and desperate. So, plunder was needed to finance the bulk of expenses. And while he should step back and allow the spoils to the victors, there were bigger caches of plunder to be claimed elsewhere. Jacques Lambert could no longer risk not following through. Both Valois and Creed knew too much. Hell, he'd spilled information when she'd been in his office. Jacques had never spent much time around an attractive woman. He never had the leisure to date or consider a relationship. Did a pretty woman so easily loosen his lips? And now Creed had looked at sensitive documents. He couldn't be sure exactly which ones she'd read, but all the papers in the locked file were for no eyes but his own and those of the research lab. Perhaps it was time to pack up and move on. Britain's cloning laws were much more lenient than they were in France.
Jack, boy, you've come this far. Don't let them bring you down now. You are so close. I have what it takes to change the world, and I will.
But first, he had to devise a backup plan, a means to keep Anya Creed from going to the authorities. And the only plan that made sense involved shutting her up for good. It wouldn't be easy. She was a celebrity, and crafty. Lambert looked down at the intercom, noticing it was a line from the lab.
Yes, Harrison?
I've begun to synthesize the samples you sent down.
Andrew Harrison, BHDC's head genetic engineer, was a keen scientist with a bold daring that Jacques appreciated. Andrew had lost a sister due to lack of a donor for a heart transplant. They understood one another.
Were you able to extract DNA from the chainmail?
It appears so. I won't know for another 24 hours. I put a rush on the job, as you requested.
Jacques knew it took time to synthesize and isolate DNA, but the PCR process did run quite smoothly, and billions of copies of the DNA strand could be produced.
You're doing the other sample at the same time?
Of course. I'll ring you as soon as I have the results.
Good. Thank you, Andrew. You are indispensable.
Lambert had surrounded himself with a very small but trusted team of colleagues. Anya Creed was the sort of adventurous, intelligent woman he could use on his team. She could prove an asset, if he could show her a reason to want to join his quest.
Time to look up your history, Anya. Do you have any relatives you'd die to protect? If you do, I will find them.
It was kind of Asher to have rented Anya her own room. Still, as she rolled over, her first thought was that she wished he'd give her another hour or two to enjoy his generosity. For a moment, she considered ignoring him, but she really didn't have the time to waste.
Hold on, I'm coming. Come in, Asher. It's already 7. You should have woken me up before.
It was almost 2 when we finished talking last night, and you looked as though you needed to sleep off the brandy. It's not as if it's late. You haven't lost much time.
With Lambert's goons lurking about every corner, I guess time is less relevant than stealth. And a new perspective.
Asher held the laminated map before him as a sort of peace offering. She took it from him and spread it upon her notebook. Asher sat on the chair near the window. He was wearing jeans and leather jacket today, and rubber boots that climbed past his knees. Interesting fashion statement.
You have the navigational device.
Anya dug in her backpack for the pommel.
I do.
Ah, I knew it. You've had it all along, since last night.
She shoved the backpack away on the bed.
You look dressed for some mucking about.
If we go underground, boots are necessary. You can purchase some down the street at the supermarché.
A visit to a French supermarket was always a treat. Sort of like a Kmart, but with cool things like wine and cigars. A few aspirins were all she really craved.
So let's see if this works.
The pommel.
The key.
That's the key. We had it all along.
Asher joined her on the bed and watched as she laid the sword pommel over the missing corner of the map. She rotated it, not sure which way was correct.
Oh, it's a compass! The navigational device has always been with the sword. So clever!
I discovered a drawing of this very pommel in François Mansart's papers at the library. I couldn't make a copy, but I didn't need to.
The heavy gold piece was cool on her palm, a chunk of history that still made her giddy to think about it. She turned over the pommel and traced the threaded column, which fit the piece onto the sword hilt.
Do you think D'Artagnan knew this was the way to read the map?
Possible, but why then put the map back in the hilt if he had found the treasure?
That is the question we'll never have answered. See here, this jagged line on the underside.
Along the rim of the pommel, a finely etched line jagged a complete circle. It matched the drawing exactly. First glance could assume it was merely a random line, perhaps an unsmoothed mark the goldsmith ignored. One side of the circle consisted of short straight lines, crenellated, like a medieval tower. As he leaned in, Asher's head blocked her light source from the tiny window. The warmth of his presence, the closeness of him, startled Anya. A handsome Frenchman was sitting too close for comfort and smelling too good for her better judgment. Vacations should involve fun activities. Hunting for an infamous sword. Picnics, laughing. Sex with a handsome treasure hunter.
You're blocking my light, Asher. Hand me the map.
Studying the underside of the pommel against the map, Anya determined the pommel fit exactly upon the serrated corner.
You've done it. North is that way, and we've got to secure it so we can follow it.
I've got a better idea.
Anya reached into her backpack and retrieved a Sharpie marker. Positioning the pommel just so, she then marked out the four points of the compass right on the lamination.
So where do we start? We still have not figured out how this is positioned to the Louvre or the river.
Anya tugged her laptop from the backpack. The hotel did not offer Wi-Fi, but she thought to give it another go. Sometimes, if it was a windless day, and she was two floors lower than previously...
What are you looking up now?
I was going to check a hunch, but the hotel doesn't offer Wi-Fi. Though I do have a Wi-Fi vampire program. And if the restaurant below offers it...
Vampires?
It's a Wi-Fi detection program. If there's a signal in the area, I might be able to tap into it.
The program scanned for a signal and found one. She was online.
My guess is it's not on the right bank. When did Mansart design Val de Grâce?
Mid-1600s. Anne of Austria commissioned the cathedral from him. There is a connection. What made you think of Mansart?
There was a notation on Lambert's copy of the map. I think it might have been a conjecture. Here.
Anya scrolled down a page on the architect that Wikipedia brought up, finding a passage relating to the creation of the Val de Grâce Cathedral.
Mansart was surprised when construction began that there were numerous cave-ins. Limestone quarries beneath the building site had to be filled in to support the church. He had to have spent some time underground in the tunnels. Who better to hide the map and a trail to the treasure?
I understand. So you think it is under the cathedral?
Anya pulled up a map of the left bank, circa 17th century. The two of them studied the ancient map alongside the map they'd discovered inside D'Artagnan's sword.
Turn it to the right. Yes, like that.
The streets aligned, or rather, the landmarks aligned to the larger blocks of space on the map, and some of the tunnels exactly matched the streets.
It is on the left bank. I think this is Val de Grâce right here. And here, this larger space, the Luxembourg Garden, surely. Which means the red line is not actually the Seine, as I'd originally guessed.
I think it's the path to the treasure. And here, the fleur-de-lis, which we believe is the X that marks the spot, is to the west of the gardens. Close to the 7th arrondissement?
Yes, perhaps. Not so far as the Invalides. There would be some tunnels directly beneath the street. This is Boulevard Montparnasse, I'm sure. If we go down close to the cathedral and find a street marker, We should be able to follow this.
Well then, I think we've got ourselves a treasure hunt, Monsieur Valois.
I think you are a genius, Miss Creed.
Asher slid his hand around behind Anya's neck, his fingers gliding up into her hair, and pulled her close.
Mmm. Mmm.
Mmm.
It felt right to surrender to the kiss in a moment of success. They'd figured it out. X finally marked a real and tangible spot.
All right, Frenchman, that's enough. We've got work to do.
Treasure hunting.
Shopping first.
Anya scanned the streets as they walked along the parked cars, fitted closer together than a stack of Oreo cookies.
Where are we headed, Asher? Wasn't the manhole down the road as good as any other?
Asher had slung a leather backpack over his broad shoulders and walked briskly. His rubber soles treaded along the cobbled street.
We mustn't be quite so bold, Anya, though I do admire your fortitude. There is an entrance to the underground ahead. I know the owner.
Someone owns an illegal entrance?
Oui. You will see.
At the end of the Luxembourg Gardens, and out of eyesight of Val de Grâce, was where Asher said they could enter the underground. If they had placed the church correctly on the map, the treasure was not there, but perhaps closer to the east border of the 7th arrondissement. They should start closer to the end, but it was the only entrance Asher was familiar with. To find someone who knew otherwise would take too much time. And if there were any thugs on their trail, the diversion would prove necessary. Cheese shop, like any such establishment, was redolent of wood smoke and unwashed socks. Anya was grateful that the aspirin from the supermarché had taken effect some time before. She now wore gray rubber knee-high boots, jeans, and a windbreaker jacket over her t-shirt. Adjusting her backpack, she shifted the weight of her supplies, which included a hard hat with attached headlamp. She was itching to get underground. A round woman in a utilitarian brown dress greeted Asher. The woman also bussed both of Anya's cheeks and made it clear she was delighted to meet her. Then she bustled off behind the counter, gesturing wildly to Asher and Anya that they should follow.
Come along, Anya. La vie est souterrain.
Oh, come, come.
Anya slipped through the door, which immediately opened on a flight of dangerously narrow wood steps, the edges of which were rounded from centuries of foot traffic. Anya stepped onto the dirt floor of a small cellar. Cheeses of all shapes and colors perched on wooden shelves in the cool darkness. Wooden-handled tools with silver corkscrews and long, curved knives hung on hooks. A caliper, a wooden hoop, and a stack of cheesecloth sat on another shelf. She had no idea of any of their uses, tools of the trade. A naked light bulb hung from an electrical cord that was tied to the overhead beam with thin strips of what looked like cheesecloth. The woman led Asher and Anya to the back of the room. A small door hinged to a wall was already open, with only darkness beyond it.
This lady has her own private entrance to the underground tunnels? Awesome!
Doorways like this exist all over the city.
You come here often?
This is the first time I've brought along a woman.
Should I consider this a date?
But now tell me, is it often you allow men to escort you into a creepy dark places?
It happens more often than you might think.
Ah, well, I hope this time is special.
Asher nodded to the cheesemaker, and, turning to hand Anya his backpack, he then stepped through the doorway and dropped out of sight. Peering inside, Anya's hands clung to the iron-framed doorway. A brilliant flash blinded her. Asher had turned on a small flashlight. There were no steps, not even an iron ladder, such as a city tunnel would install for access.
Jump, Anya!
Go! Your packs, I give.
Thanks. Here I come. Okay!
Bonne chance!
Drawing out the helmet from her backpack, Anya flicked on the headlamp and flashed it around. The walls were no more than arm's reach to either side of her, and just a few feet ahead, the ceiling dropped to a height that would be no more than a foot above her head.
Cozy, in a heart-pounding kind of way.
Anya had read about the passages that extended over 500 miles beneath the city during some of her research on Paris. The tunnels dated back to Roman times and were expanded further in the 17th and 18th centuries. They varied in width and height from huge paved sections that one could drive an army tank through to the smallest wormholes that could barely accommodate a man slithering through on his stomach. Despite the illegality of it, an entire community lived beneath the city in gypsum and limestone quarries. Cataphiles, they were called, and this was their secret kingdom. There was even a catacop force, created in the mid-20th century, to police them. Asher's hair brushed her wrist. He bent to his pack. A pale yellow beam rushed across Anya's hiking boots. It was redirected to her face. His helmet and work light. She followed suit, strapping on her own yellow helmet.
Just how far down does it all go?
There are perhaps 7 levels. Some areas descend 300 yards. You will get dirty, Anya.
That's what I live for. You sure packed a lot. You plan on spending a lot of time down here? What's in there?
Gloves, multi-tool, a leaf knife, snacks.
Snacks?
Anya, we embark upon a journey into the bowels of Paris.
Anya flashed her light along the walls. The flash fell across blue and red PVC pipes. Bowels indeed.
Aren't we already there?
Not even close.
But the map is very simple. We follow the red line.
Only because there were not so many tunnels in the 17th century as there are now. We'll have to discover the old paths by means of the newer ones.
Makes sense. Hand me the map and let's get started.
We'll take the utility tunnels until we come to an opening to the depths. This level closest to the street is probably not 17th century. Where's your compass?
Anya leaned close and placed the pommel on top of the map to verify the markings she had already made. They had a basic idea where they were located. The cheese shop was but a few blocks west from Val de Grasse.
What an appropriately macabre place for the queen to leave a treasure.
Of course, the aqueducts and underground passages had been utilized to transport criminals, or the occasional king who wished to avoid persecution by his starving subjects. Had Louis XVI and Marie Antoinette gone underground during the Fronde, would they have kept their heads? Probably not. Entombed prematurely in a graveyard of tunnels seemed the more likely result.
So, you've spent a lot of time down here?
I've been in the catacombs, beyond the small portion that is marked out for tourist consumption.
How'd you manage that? Or do I even want to know?
Nah, it's all about who you know and the vintage of the bride.
I see. You didn't bring the cheesemaker wine.
No, but I give her son fencing lessons on the weekends. Have for years. The boy is entering junior competitions this year. I believe he will do well. We should pay attention to where we are going.
I've got an idea. Let me get my camera. I'd say we could leave cheese crumbs, but this way we won't attract any rats.
Ah, yes. We can take pictures at each turn. I will point in the direction of our return.
Stop and give me a pose.
Asher did pose, knees bent and cocky French smile. He pointed back the way they'd walked. Together, the twosome turned to the left, orienting their position against Asher's handheld compass.
We shouldn't have too far to go.
Horizontally. We've yet to go vertically.
Lead on, then. I'm not getting any younger.
You don't like spending time with me in a dark, romantic cave?
Buddy, if this is your idea of romantic, I can tell you right now, we've got no future.
I'm very romantic. You haven't seen anything yet, baby.
Anya rolled her eyes and quickened her pace over what was becoming rougher terrain. The ceiling had lowered about half a foot, leaving about a hand's width of space between it and her head. Thankfully, they'd yet to find water. That could only mean dank, stinking sewer water, and possibly rats. Rats she could handle, but she wouldn't be disappointed by their absence. There were still miles of tunnels to explore. Asher knelt and tapped an iron slab.
Take a picture of this, Anya.
Anya pointed her camera, and Asher posed, pointing in the direction they had walked and would want to walk when they needed to backtrack to get out of here. He lifted the iron, which appeared more a door, and flashed the light down inside.
Hold this.
Asher handed her the light, slid his legs into the shaft, and lowered himself until he hung by his fingertips.
Come on, Anya.
Flashing her light, it flicked across his face. It was probably a good 10 feet straight down. The walls behind him were rough-hewn stone.
Catch!
The tunnel she knelt in grew dark as a starless sky. Anya couldn't see her hand before her face. The leap left her stumbling to right herself against the wall until a warm hand slid around her stomach and pulled her upright.
Okay?
Of course.
There are catacombs all over, and there's a hefty fine if you're caught down here.
So we'll be careful. Let's go.
Asher stepped ahead into a dark pathway that ran north and south. The tunnel was narrow, so that two could not walk side by side, but the ceiling was much higher.
Look there.
Anya beamed her light onto a plaque that had been carved in stone. Asher translated.
Crazy that you are. Why do you promise yourself to live a long time? You, who cannot count on a single day.
Just what I needed to hear. The map is crinkled here, difficult to tell without smoothing it, and that's impossible because someone laminated it.
As beautiful as you are, you're still an ugly American, ma chère Anya. Follow me.
Asher took off to the right and didn't bother to wait for her. For a moment, Anya stood there in the junction. He was a thief, a treasure hunter, and an unbelievable flirt. But she realized she would definitely miss Asher after they'd completed their quest.
Asher, did you hear that? What do you think it was?
Probably just rats.
I don't think so.
Damn.
The sight of Jacques Lambert's face sent Anya's heart plummeting. Though she hadn't entirely ruled out being tracked, she and Asher had done everything possible to stay discreet.
You are a difficult woman to track, Mademoiselle Creed.
Apparently not difficult enough.
I employ the best trackers in the country. We've been on your trail since the cheese shop. And Monsieur Valois.
You know, I do not like you, Lambert.
Beyond the immediate glow of the flashlights and headbeams, Anya counted six men, suited in overalls and night vision goggles. Each wielded a semi-automatic with a tiny red blinking LED at the stock.
Will you do the honor of leading the way, Mademoiselle Creed?
I don't really know where I'm going. We haven't completely deciphered the map. There are more tunnels now than there were in the 17th century.
I'm in no hurry. You aren't armed by any chance, are you?
No, I don't have any weapons.
Visible?
He'd seen her use the sword in the file room. It was on the surveillance tape. Briefly, Anya wondered if Rue might be able to infiltrate BHDC to steal the tape.
You can search me if it'll make you feel better.
Not necessary. Let's just be on our way.
An hour later, after passing through many twisting tunnels, Anya wondered if they were completely lost. They'd descended another 30 or 40 feet deeper through makeshift steps and holes that literally dropped from one dark realm to the next. If they hadn't had the map, she might grow old and die down here. And if she were not holding the map, she might wonder if Asher was leading them astray. There were moments when he suggested a direction completely opposite to where Anya felt they should go. Yet she deferred to his knowledge. He had the most experience in the Paris underground. She took comfort having Asher close. He may not necessarily be on her side, but he did want the same thing she wanted. To keep the treasure out of Lambert's hands. The air grew thicker the farther down they traveled. They passed through tunnels nearly 50 feet wide and 12 feet high. These had been used during the German occupation, when Hitler had driven tanks below to hide or ambush. Then they bent and shuffled through tunnels 3 feet high and no wider. When Asher had suggested they squeeze through a tunnel about a foot square, Lambert adamantly refused. Though it would have served a means for their escape, Anya was more than a little relieved. Not her favorite way to die. They had been underground almost 3 hours. Asher had said the batteries would last for six. Or should. Anya crossed her fingers on that one. They now walked a narrow tunnel lined in yellow skulls and leg bones. The stacked bones were placed in a definite pattern. Three rows of leg bones, the ball-like lateral and medial condyles pointing out to form a knobby line, and then a row of skulls, most facing outward to display empty eye sockets, and the occasional disturbing hole in the forehead that, Anya decided, could only be from a sharp weapon. A particular skull, still with all its teeth, grimaced at her. There was something scratched into the limestone. She flashed her light over it. The date, 1670, was very clear. but the mark below it was not. A circle with an indistinguishable letter inside it. A stonecutter's mark.
Perhaps we are beneath Saint Ignace. It must be, to judge from our turns and the distance we've walked.
Which arrondissement?
Saint Ignace is in the 7th.
One of the ritzier neighborhoods in Paris. It boasted the Eiffel Tower. Its high-class status was not apparent from down here. But they had to be close. This was where she and Asher had determined the treasure might be found. The tunnel ended abruptly at a wall of skulls. A design had been worked with the bones of former Parisian residents. A large circle, two skulls thick in outline, expanded about 5 feet in diameter before them. And filling in the non-circle parts were thousands of femurs. In the center was a small plaque.
Did you take us the wrong way? Was this a wrong turn?
I warned you. Navigation is difficult down here.
No excuses! Give me the map!
Lambert grabbed the laminated paper from Anya's hands, sweeping his flashlight over it. The beam was visibly flickering in the dark.
Your battery is getting low.
We've got reserves.
It appears as if the end is ahead, through that wall.
This could be a new addition. The cataphiles are always putting up new walls and tearing down old ones. They haul cement blocks and jackhammers down here.
No, it's original. These skulls are tight and the debris is solid, like mortar.
Anya brushed her fingers over the plaque, which was thick with dust. There was something engraved on it. She bent before the small piece of stone and beamed her flashlight over the small French words. Selon mes mérites.
As I deserve.
An appropriate saying for anyone who may have found a treasure, but not for a treasure left behind. Her heart sank. They were too late. Or this was the wrong spot.
What's the holdup? Push it down!
Perhaps we should retrace our footsteps. We may have taken a wrong turn.
Anya beamed her headlamp back in the direction they had come. The sandy floor glinted with fine mica particles.
You're not looking at all the options.
Which are?
Break down the wall.
I will not damage a historical structure. Such destruction is worse than theft and piracy.
Lambert looked to one of his men.
Theo, knock it down.
A man with shoulders as solid as a Mack truck took a bouncing step back, preparing to knock the wall down. Anya stepped in front of him.
Are you insane?
Anya, be careful.
Bloody pirate.
Mad bloody Jack, thanks you kindly, mademoiselle. Do it now, Theo.
The thug bent up a knee and connected with the wall of skulls. The force of the impact did push in two skulls and dislodge the plaque. The flat stone piece teetered forward and fell. Theo redoubled his efforts. Icy cold air gushed from the enclosed section of tunnel, streaming over Anya's nose and cheeks. Theo began to pull out the skulls remaining across the bottom portion of the former wall.
Careful, Theo. One wrong skull and the whole thing could come down.
Isn't that what you want, Lambert?
Not if it's connected to a wall. We need to get back out of here.
Let me do it.
Anya shoved Theo aside. She might be able to limit the destruction some. Fitting her fingers through two eye holes, she carefully rocked at an ancient skull.
I'm going to hell for this.
They are long dead. Their souls don't care what you do with their bones now.
You should respect the dead no matter their state.
Lambert pushed Anya aside, then leaned inside the hole and poked in a flashlight. He popped back out and handed Anya the flashlight.
It's a small room, about 4 feet long by 3 feet high. Ladies first.
I'd rather watch.
Lambert nodded to one of his men. He moved swiftly, wrapping an arm around Asher's neck in a chokehold. The man shoved the barrel of his weapon into Asher's left side, where he'd lost a kidney a few weeks earlier. Lambert regarded her calmly.
I was unable to uncover relatives or close allies who would mean something to you, Anya. But I suspect Valois should do in a pinch.
Give me the damn light.
Anya grabbed the flashlight from Lambert and stepped through the hole.